So I'll take a look with you this morning. There are so many rich, beautiful Rambans in Parshas Lech Lecha. And maybe when we close, I'll leave you with a brief list. If you have time over Shabbos to take a look at just some of the highlights. It's unusually, Parshas Lech Lecha, Ramban is always beautiful. Parshas Lech Lecha is unusually dense with gorgeous, very gorgeous, juicy morsels in the Ramban. But I want to take a look with you now. The Ramban near the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha, and he himself tells us that this, what I'm about to tell you, is unusually significant and unusually powerful, important tool. A tool not just for understanding the pasuk we're going to look at, but a tool for understanding all of Chumash Bereishis. We mentioned last week at Mishmar. I think last week at Mishmar opened with a riddle. What's the difference between Bereishis and Noach versus the entire rest of Chumash? The answer, of course, is that Bereishis and Noach are not focused on Klal Yisrael in particular, because the story of Klal Yisrael hasn't yet begun. Bereishis and Noach are all universal, all about the universe, about humanity. Avram is mentioned in the last week's parasha, but he's there as a part of Terach's family. Terach takes his family, including Avram, and they travel to Haran. But of course, we turn the corner. We open a Parshas Lech Lecha, and all of a sudden, we're talking about Klal Yisrael. The Eschol Agai, from the get-go, go to Eretz Yisrael. Pasuk number one. Pasuk number two. The Eschol Agai Gadol, etc., etc. That you're going to be a Gadol. You're going to have a positive impact on all the other families of the world. The opening Psukim, Lech Lecha, right away spell out something's different. It's going to be universal and particular at the same time. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is invested in all of humanity, and Klal Yisrael will be a unique people who will be a source of bracha for all of humanity. Avravina sets out. Pasuk Dali, Elach Avram, the psukim we just heard this morning. Avram sets out from Haran, from Syria, heads south to Eretz Yisrael. He's 75 years old, he's not a young man. Pasuk Hay. So he packs up the family. They have all Eretz Kanan. They leave Haran to head to Eretz Kanan, and indeed they arrive in Eretz Kanan. And here we come to Pasuk Vav. If you're looking at the, if you're online, so it's right in front of you. If you're here live, so it's page Ayin Zayin. Pasuk Vav, he arrives in Eretz Kanan. What's the first thing that Avram does? The very first thing that Avram does. Vayavar Avram ba'aretz, ad mekom Shechem, ad elon moreh. Avraham Avinu comes into Eretz Yisrael, comes to Shechem, to Elon Moreh, to the Shomron, the first thing he does. Then we begin to hear about where he travels, starts traveling. So he goes from in Pasuk Hey, he goes to Beit El, and then he goes, starts traveling south, and then the famine. So Ramban says here, take a look, Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Vav. He says, Omar lecha klal tavin oso b'chol ha-parshias ha-bos. Be'in Avram Yitzchak V'Yaakov. Rabban says, listen carefully. I want to tell you an important principle. I want to give you a powerful tool that's going to not just help you here, but it's going to help you for all the parshas of Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov. In other words, I'm going to give you a principle for the entire rest of Chumash Bereishis. When we got started a number of weeks back learning Ramban, I mentioned the one thing that's unique about the Ramban that hits you right away is he's the first major mefarish to be writing Hakdamos to the Svar. Rashi gives you pasuk by pasuk. Ramban also gives you pasuk by pasuk. But in addition, he has a hakdama to Sefer Shmos, a hakdama to Sefer Devarim. What's Devarim about? What's Vayikra about? Something that was picked up afterwards by later Svarim. Certainly Achronim, the Netziv does this, and others do this. But the Ramban is the first major mefarish, certainly the first major mefarish known to us, who does this. And to have a hakdama. A sefer means that you have this, like, the zoom out view as well as the zoom in view. Not only looking at what does this pasuk mean, what does a sefer mean? It's a question we don't ask ourselves when we're younger. What's Chumash Bereishis about? What's Chumash Shemos about? When we get to Mitzvah Beginning of Shemos, we'll have to take a look at very beautiful, very powerful Hakdamas of Shemos. But right now the Ramban says, we already started Bereishis, but let's give you a call for the rest of Bereishis. Because again, from Lech Lecha and on, are the stories of Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. It's the Sefer of the Avos. Bereishis as a whole is Sefer HaYetzirah, one of the names that Chazal have. Genesis, the what we think of as the English names, the Latin names for the Chumashim, correspond, the Netziv points out, to the names that Chazal used for the Chumashim. Right. Exodus is Sefer HaGolos VaGeula. Leviticus is Toras Kohanim. Bamidbar is Numbers, which is what the Mishnah calls it, Chumash HaPekudim. Deuteronomy is another fancy way of saying Mishnah Torah. Genesis, Bereshis, is the Sefer of Beginnings, Sefer HaYitzira, not the Kabbalah Sefer, the Sefer of Chumash, also has Kabbalah. Sefer HaYitzira, because it's the creation of the universe, the creation of humanity and civilization, and from Lech Lecha on, the creation of Am Yisrael. So he says, if let me give you a tool for understanding from Lech Lecha to Vayechi. It's going to help you well for the next 2 months. What's that tool? Hu inyan gadol, tizkirua b'seinu b'derech k'tzar. It's a big idea, which Chazal said in a short way. It's just one phrase, but it packs a big punch. Sometimes Achrona will refer to, you have a sefer, which is very short, but has a lot to offer, but it's not very long. Or sometimes you have a person who's a speaker. Some speakers can talk forever and say very little. Some speakers can speak for 10 minutes, and really, really, there's a lot, they're very dense. So they call that ma'at. Rav ha'eches or ma'at ha'kamos. Lots of quality, very little content. That's what Ramban says here. Inyan gadol. It's a big, big issue. The Chazal say in a very short way. What did they say? One way they say it, you look inside, kol ma she'ira le'avos simen le'banim. Whatever happened to the avos is a simen, is a marker, is an indicator for the children, for Klal Yisrael. Or sometimes we say it even more efficiently as four words. The Ramban himself is going to use this language over the course of Chumash Bereishis. Ma'isa avos simen lebanim. So raise your hand if you've ever heard this before. Ma'isa avos simen lebanim. Maybe, maybe not. Some yes, some no. Okay. Number of people have, some people here, some people here. Ma'isa avos simen lebanim. What does that mean, though? What does that mean? What does it mean, and why does it work? And why should we care? So take a look at Ramban. He says, if it's true, once I recognize that the stories of the Avos are simon for us, he says, "Lachen yarichu hakesuvim v'sipur hamasos v'chafiras habeiros v'shar hamikru." So number one, that explains, that begins to give me some insight into why the Torah spends so much time over the course of the parshas of Avram and Yitzhak and Yaakov, and all the details, like right here. He goes to Shem, he goes to the Negev, he goes to Mitzrayim. Who cares? L'may Rav Kamina where he was. You want to tell me that Avram was Baal Chesed? I understand I learned things from that. You want to tell me that Avram Avinu was very challenged by the Akedah, he was very challenged by different episodes, the Nisyonos of Avram Avinu, so I understand there's so much to be learned from how Avram Avinu dealt with tough situations. You can look and see how a Jew can have strength. But the fact that he went to Shechem, for my nafkamina, and the fact that the Avram dug Be'eros, Yitzhak dug Be'eros, and they went to the north, they went to the south. V'yachshav achoshev b'hem, Ramban says. Take a look inside. In the fourth line, if you're looking at the copies. V'yachshav achoshev b'hem kilim dvar miyutarim in b'hem talas. The thinker might think, the learner, if I'm a Jew sitting learning Chumash, I might wonder, dvar miyutarim. It's unnecessary in b'hem talas. There's no purpose. What's the point? What do I gain? What do I gain by knowing that Aravino went to the Negev? What do I gain by knowing that Aravino went to Shechem? What do I gain by knowing Yitzhak dug this well and that well? As we've said many times already in the past, Avada, it was important for Yitzhak to have water. Of course, Aravino had to trust the specific question. But the question is, why do I need to know? Because, as we've referenced, Gemara Megillah Daf Yudalid, Nevuah Shehutzrul Chodaros Nuchdeva, Nevuah Shelo Hutzrul Chodaros Lo Nuchdeva. If I don't, the of all the Nevuahs that were said, and all the events in the lives of the Avos and the other figures in Tanakh, a tiny, tiny percentage is recorded in Tanakh. Only that part, says the Gemara Megillah, which is relevant for all generations. So of course, Yitzchak needed water. Of course, it was critically important that he dug wells. But what do I have to know about? What is important to me and to you, to him and to her? So the answer is, sometimes the answer is going to be, we learn Musar Haskel. You see how you look at the Akedah, you look at the way Yaakov deals with Lavan, there's a lot to learn. But how about all the, what look like the nitty-gritty, what seemingly irrelevant details? He says, This is the klal. Here's the tool that's going to answer so many of those questions. The stories that make it into Chumash Bereishis are the stories that didn't just happen then, but were telling me about the future. The Maisa Avos Simin L'Banim. Okay, so number one, Maisa Avos Simin L'Banim is going to explain why things appear in Chumash, even though on the face of it, it seems like a irrelevant, unnecessary, boring detail. But let me ask you a deeper question, Rabban says. Why does this work? What does this mean? Maisa Avos Simin L'Banim. It's going to happen to the children, it's going to happen to the children. If it happened to the father, it's happened to others. What does that mean? How does it work? Maybe so many of you raised your hands before. I said, have you heard of this? Yeah, I've heard of it. It's just cute. If it's just cute, so what was the Chumash? So Rabban says something that we referenced earlier when we were learning in Yanei Rosh Hashanah. He says, let me give you a second major yesod. The da, he says. Says when you have a gzera from Shamayim, decision of Shamayim, Ribbono Shel Olam decides that something's going to happen. And Kadosh Baruch Hu conveys it to the Navi. Kadosh Baruch Hu tells the Navi, here's what's going to be. For better, for worse, Kadosh Baruch Hu tells the Navi about the future. So most of the time, the Navi transmits the Nevuah verbally. Navi gets up. Yishayahu, Yirmiyahu, God, Nasan, Yonah. They get up and they say, right, Yonah walks into Nineveh and he says, Ora ba'yom Nineveh nefachas. 40 more days and Nineveh is overturned. Yirmiyahu says, Od shiv mishana efkot. 70 years of Gaul. And so on and so on. Tanakh is full of verbal nevuos. But there's a significant minority, but a significant minority of the nevuos in Tanakh, which aren't only verbal. Sometimes there's a poal dimyon, an action, a poal, an action, a maisa, which is a dimyon, which is similar to what's being said. In other words, sometimes the Navi doesn't just say the nevuah, but he mimes it, he acts it out. For instance, the chen yasu ha-neviim masa b'nevuos. He says, you'll find the neviim act out nevuos. Kemamar Yirmiyahu, says Yirmiyahu tells Baruch, we learned this, we came across Baruch Beneria on some Gedalia. Baruch Beneria was Yirmiyahu's prime Talmud. According to the Rambam, the Haggadah to the Mishnah Torah, when he lists off the 40 links in the chain, from Moshe Rabbeinu learning from Ribbono Shel Olam all the way until the end of the Amoraim, Ravina Rashi, Chasimas Talmud. So Baruch is one of the links in the chain. Yirmiyahu is a link in the chain, and he passes on the Masorah to Baruch, and Baruch passes on so on and so forth. Makes its way down to Ezra, and on and on and on. To the Zugos, to the Tanan, to the Amoraim. So, and the number of, Baruch appears prominently in a number of the episodes in Sefer Yirmiyahu. So, Yirmiyahu, the Rabban says, tells Baruch, Kemarma Yirmiyahu should tziva l'baruch. Yirmiyahu tells Baruch ben Neriah, Hayaki chaloscha likros divya sefer azah, when you're gonna, here I'm giving you this nevuah written on parchment, the sefer, and you're gonna read it. And then when you're done reading it, tikshar of Evan, this is for the fishermen among us. You're gonna tie on a rock, and you're gonna tie on what do we call that in fisherman language? Take something, you tie on a rock, and you drop it into the water.
A sinker,
exactly. So he tells him. You're going to tie on a sinker, just like you often tie on a sinker to your bait and your hook to make sure it goes deep. So he says, you take this parchment, take this nevuah that's written on cloth. Kechalos chalikros divrei sefer hazeh tikshar olav evan, tie on a rock, v'hishlachto toch pras, and toss it into the middle of the Euphrates River, one of the major rivers in Bavel. The Amarta, you're going to say, Kacha Tishka Bavel. Obviously, you take a piece of parchment, you tie on a rock, you throw it into the river, it sinks to the bottom. And Yirmiyahu tells Baruch, and you're going to pronounce, that's exactly how Bavel is going down. Bavel is such a powerful empire, but they're not going to last forever. They're going to be, within a number of years, they're going to be overtaken. They knocked off their position as the there's a superpower of the Middle East, and they could be overtaken by Paras and Madai. The Persian Empire is going to overtake them and topple Nebuchadnezzar over the course of the next number of years. Kacha Tishka Bava. He didn't just say the Nebuchadnezzar Kacha Tishka Bava. He actually acted out. Right? He has this cloth, he throws it into the river, and it sinks. He goes on to give more examples. Story of Elisha. We're probably familiar, maybe even spoke before Rosh Hashanah, where the Navi comes to Shlomo HaMelech, tells Shlomo HaMelech that that you followed your father David in being king over all 12 Shvatim of the United Kingdom of Eretz Israel. So he says, so the Navi tells Shlomo, you continued your father's legacy of being king of the 12 Shvatim, but the Navi says you did chatam, you did some very severe chatam, as a result of which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to punish you, it's not going to last. This United Kingdom under Malchus Beis Dava is not going to last. The Navi tells him it's not going to end in your lifetime, as because of the schus of your father, but it's going to end in your son's lifetime. Your son Rechavam will take over for you, Shlomo, after you pass away. He's only going to be king over the south, only over Malchus Yehuda, but not over Malchus Yisrael. Malchus Yisrael will be given away to someone else. The Navi, in fact, tells Yeravam ben Nevat that he is meant to be the king of Malchus Yisrael. Yeravam ben Nevat runs away during the lifetime of Shlomo HaMelech. He escapes to Egypt because he's worried for his life. And then he returns and takes over. Shlomo passes away. Rechavam becomes king of the south, but Yeravam becomes king of the north. And from that point on, all the rest of Sefer Malachim, Malchus Beis David is only over the centered around Yerushalayim. It's just Malchus Yehuda, just the south of Eretz Yisrael. The Navi doesn't just tell Shlomo that. He actually that the Malchus is going to be split in half. He actually takes the garment and rips it in half. So what's that all about? Was it just now? I would have said without the Shamban, it's a speaking technique. I could just stand here and speak, but if I were to actually take off my jacket and rip it, I would definitely get your attention. So I would get your attention in the moment. It would be memorable for much longer. You know, it's what we do at the Seder. We don't just talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim. We have audiovisual aids. We explain the Karban Pesach, the Matzah, the Mar. So we would have, you see this phenomenon throughout the Tanakh of Nevi'im from time to time acting it out, sometimes very, very vividly. Yechezkel is told to make when he's being misnabe about the coming destruction of Yerushalayim. Yechezkel is already in Bavel over a decade before, but Yerushalayim had not been entirely destroyed. Beis HaMikdash not yet been destroyed. And Rebbeinu Shlom tells Yechezkel to say Nevuah about the coming siege over Yerushalayim, but not just to say it, but he actually has to build a model, and he has to, of Yerushalayim. Let's wrap around soon. Good. Acharei Pulos is an interesting perspective. And he's meant to lie next to the model for a very long time to demonstrate the Bavli army will be laying siege to Yerushalayim. The beginning of Treyasar is the most one of the most radical of all. And Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Hoshea, who was a Navi earlier in the Bayis Rishon period, Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Hoshea that Klal Yisrael have been very disloyal to him. Klal Yisrael, Kadosh Baruch Hu taking care of Klal Yisrael, they're busy running around the Avodah Zarah. And near the opening of Treyasar begins with Hoshea. Near the opening of Hoshea, Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Hoshea, go marry this woman, but she's a Zona. So you're going to be married to her, but she's going to be faithless to you. And while you're married to her, she's going to be busy on the side of other men, and you're going to have children. She's going to have children. You're not even going to be sure, are they your children? Are they someone else's children? It's like a terrible situation. And what's that about? A poledimion. It's expressing, it's giving visual expression, very, very vivid expression, to the fact that our relationship to Ribbono Shel Olam was like the relationship of that wife of Hoshea to Hoshea, married to Ribbono Shel Olam, but cheating on the side, like this Zona wife of Hoshea, cheating on the side. So Rambam thinks that perhaps happened in Maror HaNevuah. Others believe that happened in Hoshea actually told to then real life. What does it all mean? So again, before we learned this Ramban, we would have said, you act it out, you get people's attention. You act it out, and now you get people's attention in the moment, but people will remember it. There was something visual. You see a good ad, right? It sticks with you. The Rabban says it's more than just a question of quality of communication. It's actually doing something. The Paul Dimion is mechazek the gezera. If kasher teitzim mikoch gezera Paul Dimion, if it's not only verbalized the nevuah but it's acted out, tia gezera miskayemas al kapanim. It reinforces the strength of the nevuah. That, Rabban says, that's the deeper understanding of all these episodes throughout Tanakh of the Navi acting in act. It makes the Nevuah more powerful when it's delivered multimodally, when it's not only delivered with words, when it's delivered with action as well. As I said, L'chein yasu ha-Nevi'im masa b'Nevuos. That's why you find so many times throughout Tanakh the Nevi'im will do some sort of action to accompany the verbal Nevuah. Now, why in turn that is a further question. So the Binyamin pointed out, it's maybe parallel to the idea, the Musar idea, the psychological principle of Acharei Ha'Pu'ulos Nimshachin Ha'Avavos, that the Sefer HaChinuch has many times, Messias Yisharim has in a couple of prakim from now, he talks about Zerizos, that sometimes when I act, if I want to be a certain way about having trouble following through on my will, so I can act as though I feel a certain way, and in time I will feel that way. If I wish I was enthusiastic to do mitzvahs, I wish I was the kind of guy who runs to minyanim, but I'm not. I wish I was, but I'm not. So it says, I wish I was the type of guy who, when I see someone who's in help, needs help, driven to help, but I'm not. I see someone needs help, I usually look the other way. But I wish I was the guy who was like super enthusiastic to help other people. So what do I do about it? So one of the ideas that the Messiah Shem has is, well, act as though you feel enthusiastic. I don't feel, you know, I'm not enthusiastic. I'll go to shul. I need to go to shul. I'm not excited. I'll go to shul. I'm not excited to do chesed. I'll do it. He says, run. If you were excited, you would run. So run. Run to shul. Run to do chesed. Don't just do it. Run to do it. And if you act excited in time, the actions will external actions repeated will ultimately shape my insides. They'll shape my feelings. They'll shape my attitude. They'll shape my character. The heart, the inside will be drawn after the actions. So that's a psychological principle. And that, according to Sefer Chinuch, it lies behind many, many mitzvahs. That's why we don't just talk about ideas. We live the ideas because that shapes us. So Binyam is suggesting maybe there's sort of like a parallel here to Acharei Pulos Nimshachin Ha'Avavos, which has to do with the relation between my actions and my pnimius. So here, Paul Dimion means my actions can shape metaphysical pnimius and shamayim. Interesting, right? That's fascinating. Now, one more step. So Rabban says, this idea of Paul Dimion, which usually comes up when a Navi is speaking and also acting out, right? And it usually has to do with how the Navi transmits the Nevuah, how the Navi transmits the Nevuah to Klal Yisrael. Usually has to do with how the Navi transmits the Nevuah to his audience. The Rabban says all of Chumash Bereishis from this point on is also full of Poel Dimyon, but not from the Navi to his audience, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the Navi, and from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to us. Because watch what he says next. Lefikach hechzek HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Avram ba'aretz, v'asal demyos b'chol ha'asit lehi asos bizarro. V'havenze. Understand. That's why Avram Avinu moves Avram into Eretz Yisrael and has him do all these actions that are acting out the future of Klal Yisrael. What did he just say? Myself a similar banim. How does that work? How does myself a similar banim work? Well, so therefore, something happens to Avram. It's like Yaakov. So who cares? Who cares? The answer is no. If Avram, let's give the example that Rabban gives in just a few psukim in Pasuk Yud. He says, what the first major episode? He comes into Eretz Yisrael and he comes to Shechem. He builds him his bech. And the first dramatic episode is starring Pasuk Yud. Avram Avinu There's a famine, there's a lack of food, and he has to go down to Mitzrayim. Rabban points out in Pasuk Yud, that's remarkable. What happens there? Think about the story. Rabban says, Avram goes down to, what are the steps of the story? There's a famine, he goes, number one. Number two, he goes down to Mitzrayim because of the famine. Number three, when he gets to Mitzrayim, they totally take advantage of him, and they seize his wife. Number four, HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects Sarah. Number five, ultimately Avram leaves. And number six, he leaves with great wealth. What did you say? The brothers. Ah, exactly. So Yosef says, one second, those six elements of the story are all going to recur in a couple of centuries. Right? In the days of Yaakov and his sons, there's going to be a famine, as a result of which much longer, circuitous, torturous story, as a result of the famine, ultimately, they end up in Mitzrayim. When they get to Mitzrayim, it takes much longer, but ultimately they're taken advantage of by the Mitzrayim. In general, they're Meshabed them, and specifically, they seek to take advantage of the women. The Ramban points out, very fascinating, Pasuk Yud. Let's actually take a look inside. Those who are here, if you're here in person, you have that's sheet number two. And if you're zooming, here it is on the screen. Rabban says something fascinating. He says, take a look. Avram goes down to Mitzrayim Pnei Harav. Step by step by step. V'ramaz Eilav. Two lines in. Right? He's being wrong. He said, this entire story is going to play out big gadol in a couple of centuries. Your literally grandchildren, great grandchildren are going to go down to Mitzrayim because of famine. Lagur Shambar, it's also just to stay, the intent is just to stay temporarily. Hamitzrim Yarei Elohim. The Mitzrim will be nasty to them and take advantage of them. The Yikomehem Anashim. And not only will they seek to enslave the Jews, they're going to seek to take their women from them. How do you know? By the way, this is very fascinating. I never thought of this until I saw this in the Ramban. How do you know that the Mitzrayim want to take away the Jewish women? Kasher Amar v'chal basti chayun. At one point, Paro says, we're going to kill all the Jewish baby boys. But we'll leave all the Jewish baby girls alive. Never thought about that much until I noticed this Ramban. What does that mean? Number one, why does Torah have to mention leave the Jewish baby girls alive? Say, we'll kill the Jewish baby boys. Moreover, what does that mean? If they would have succeeded, so that would mean fast forward the 20 years, right? There are tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of eligible young Jewish women and no young Jewish men. If the Mitzvah would have succeeded long term, which obviously the plan was, this is a double-edged sword. They wanted to destroy Moshe and Shal Yisrael. They wanted to knock out every Jewish boy in order to eliminate anyone who could be the savior of Klal Yisrael. They were trying to eliminate Moshe Rabbeinu, and they were creating the ultimate Jewish shidduch crisis. There would have been hundreds of thousands of young Jewish women, no young Jewish men, and the Mitzvah's plan was devious. So we'll take all the Jewish women for ourselves. And ultimately, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? HaKadosh Baruch Hu yinkom nikmasam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell Avinu, I'm going to protect Klal Yisrael. I will ultimately avenge Klal Yisrael. B'negayim gedolim. Paro suffers negayim when Sarah's in his home. Fast forward a couple of centuries. Eser makos. Kriyas yamsev. Ad shiotziyim. Bekesev. Bezav. Etzon ubaka. Mikne. Coven mode. And they push them out of Mitzrayim. The way Paro pushes Avram ultimately out of Mitzrayim. That's the way Paro centuries later, a different Paro, is pushing the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim. Lo nafal davar mikol ma'ora ha'av shal hayu b'banim. Wow. So the Ramban said, now coming back to Parak, to the Ramban with which we began, Pasuk Vav, Parak Yudbeis Pasuk Vav.
The Mishnah.
So that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu has Avram go through all these episodes happen. There were episodes in Avram's life that were important for Avram, but there were many episodes in Avram's life that were actually important as a nevuah for his kids. And you'll notice Ramban is expanding the idea of Paul Dimyon. It's not only when, like he said before, when the Navi conveys the nevuah to his audience, he acts it out. The Navi says it to Shlomo. The Navi says it to Baruch is going to say it to all the people who are assembled to hear him. Here, this is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu conveyed the nevuah to the Navi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was communicating to Avram, here's what's going to happen to your children. How did HaKadosh Baruch Hu communicate to him? Through the event. Avram went through an episode. Avram Avinu suffers famine. He ends up going to Mitzrayim. And this whole story unfolds. Avram himself afterwards stopped and thought, well, what was HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling me? All that stuff that just happened. Oh, what a tumultuous couple of months. There was no food. I went down to Mitzrayim. I got stuck with Paro. Avram stopped in the third. Someone was giving me nevuah, a non-verbal nevuah. It was a nevuah through action. The episodes, sometimes Paul Demian means the Navi does activities that his audience sees, but sometimes it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu causes something to happen to the Navi. And he appears to say that that's what Lech Lecha is all about. He says that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu has Avram move into Eretz Yisrael. Now, I don't know whether he means that's the reason for Lech Lecha B'chlal. Why did Avram have to travel to Eretz Yisrael? Who do they need to be Eretz Yisrael for? They're not going to stay anyway. They're going to end up in Mitzrayim. They're going to have to come back to Eretz Yisrael under Yehosh, and Moshe is going to bring them up into the yard, and Yeshua is going to bring them in. So it could be asking, that's a pretty broad question. Why the office in Eretz Yisrael? That strikes us as a pretty radical question, or a pretty radical answer. Eretz Yisrael is an incredible, incredibly spiritual place, and there was value for the office themselves to be in Eretz Yisrael. So I don't know if the Ramban is asking why was Avram in Eretz Yisrael at all. Now, Lech Lecha was meant to be, the whole traveling to Eretz Yisrael was meant to be a Paul Dimon for the Jewish people, or if he means something more specific. And we'll close with this. After he comes into Eretz Yisrael, Rosh Hashem tells Avram Avinu to take a hike. Rosh Hashem tells Avram Avinu, at the end of Parak Yud Gimel, Pasuk Yud Zayin, Kum Misaleich Ba'aretz L'Arko L'Rachba. I want you, Hashem says to Avram, to travel the length and the width of Eretz Yisrael, Kilecha Tanana, because I'm going to give it to you. So how do you understand that? Travel the length and the width of Eretz Yisrael, because Kilecha Tanana. That's very nice, you're going to give it to me. Why am I hiking? And just bear in mind. Anyone here ever do Miyam Liam? Not yet. No one? No one. No hikers here. There's a famous hike in Eretz Yisrael. It's like a rite of passage almost. Miyam Liam is you go from the Mediterranean to the Kinneret. The width of Eretz Yisrael. Often there are different variations exactly where you go. A lot of people like to go through Tzfat, through Meiron, which a lot of up and down. Tzfat and Meiron are very, very mountainous and very geschmack. Very ruchani. So there are different versions of it, but Miyam Yam is from the Mediterranean to the Kinneret. It's usually at least a three-day hike. That's L'Rachba. Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Aravino, again, Perikid Gimel, Pasikid Zayin, wanting to go La'arka U'L'Rachba, the width and the length of Eretz, the length of Eretz itself from top to bottom. That's a lot of hiking. That's weeks, maybe months. So what's it all about? Why? Aravino, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so many other jobs for Aravino. Why was he spending months of his life hiking Eretz Yisrael? Again, it wasn't just hiking. Obviously, he was making stops along the way. He was interacting with the people, and he was spreading monotheism. But why Dafka did he have to go La'arka? And what do you mean, Kilecha Tanena? You have to hike through Eretz Yisrael. Kilecha Tanena, because I'm going to give it to you. So in the eighth parak above Basra, in Parak Yesh Nochon, the Gemara has one opinion in Tanayim, that this was the kinyan. The hiluch was that that's how Avraham Avinu took ownership of Eretz Yisrael. How is he koneh the karka of Eretz Yisrael on behalf of Klal Yisrael? He didn't pay for it. There's no kesef, no star. So the Gemara says it could be that this was a kinyan, the hiluch, walking the length and the width of the property could be a way of making eros, ledoros, or at least at that moment. So if you say that, so then you understand Pashim Shana Pasak. Walk throughout the land, Kilachat, because I'm giving it to you, and this is how you make this. I'm giving you a gift, That's what you say. Here, I want to get, here, pick this up, I want to give it to you. Okay, so you pick it up and it's yours. And that's Pasha Pshat in the Pasuk. It's Halech Ba'arkul Rachba, Kilachat Tanera. But let's say you say it wasn't the Kenyan. So if it wasn't the Kenyan, so what's the Pshat in the Pasuk? So I think that's what Ramban is saying here. Ramban is saying that no, that Kadosh Baruch Hu had him move in, not because that was the legal Kenyan, now it belongs to you. I'm going to give it to you in the future. I'm going to give this land to Klal Yisrael. And that's why there's a direct that word key in Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Yud Zayin, is a direct statement of Ma'aseh Avos to Milvanim. In the future, a couple hundred years from now, I'm going to give Eretz Yisrael to Klal Yisrael. And that's why now I want you to already walk throughout the land. And that's going to presage, that's going to be a nevuah. You're walking throughout the land to be a nevuah that Klal Yisrael will ultimately spread throughout Eretz Yisrael and conquer Eretz Yisrael and take possession of Eretz Yisrael. And he goes on to say that all the detailed episodes that happen to Avram in every single place, they are nevuahs about different details. For instance, the very first place Avram goes is Shechem, and it's the very first area to which Klal Yisrael go as well. And on and on and on. So this is, as we said when we opened, as Rabban says, he himself tells you, I'm going to tell you, he's full of klal, and here he actually tells you, this is a klal. And indeed it is. And the Rabban is very consistent. Over the course of the next number of parshas, throughout the balance of Chumash Gracious, he's going to point that periodically. Here's an example of Ma'aseh Avos to Milvanim, as he does in Pasuk Yud. There's a lot. Let's close where we opened. The parshas Lech Lecha is full of very, very overtly rich comments to Ramban. As I mentioned before, I promised I would give you a brief list of some highlights. If you have time over the course of the later today, it's Friday, Shabbos, so a couple of Rambans you want to take a look at. We looked at, again, in Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Vav and Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Yud. There is more in Pasuk Yud we didn't see. Ramban also speaks about he believes that Avravina was Chote, the way he handled Sarah. There's a beautiful, short and beautiful Ramban in Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Ches about being Kori B'Shem Hashem. There's a very fascinating Ramban. Perek Tes Vav Pasuk Beis. And he talks about Olam Hazen, Olam Haba in the context of Avraham Avinu. In Perek Tes Zayin, Pasuk Vav, the Ramban famously develops the idea that he thinks that that Sarah was Chote in the way in which she treated Hagar. Other Rishonim disagree with that. Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Aleph, is very, very rich. He talks about the significance of Shem Hashem, the significance of the name Shakai in particular, as Machlokas other Rishonim. And then he talks about his Halech Lefanai, the Heye Tamim. So he explains that sometimes we walk in front of HaKadosh Baruch, sometimes we walk behind HaKadosh Baruch, what the difference is. And Heye Tamim, a three-way Machlokas Rishonim, the Rabban presents, what is this fundamental mitzvah of being Tamim? Does it mean a profound belief that HaKadosh Baruch runs the world? Does it mean a consistency in succeeding at Nisyonos? That's a Rashi. He quotes from Rashi, and then he quotes from Ibn Ezra. That has to do with not asking too many questions. Those are some of the many, many Geshmak Rambans you should take advantage of.